It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
More aid to Ukraine, fast. Check. More funds for COVID relief here at home, not so fast. President Biden on Monday signed a law that will speed up military aid to Ukraine as Russia intensifies its offensive in eastern and southern Ukraine. Biden also urged Congress to immediately pass a separate bill to provide Ukraine with $33 billion more in military and humanitarian aid. Congressional Democrats are adding to that another $7 billion onto this package. About two-thirds of that will go towards security and military assistance as Ukraine fights invading Russian forces. But no COVID relief for you or me. A pending $10 billion COVID-19 assistance package is stuck in a battle over Title 42. Republicans won an amendment vote that would stop the administration from ending that Trump pandemic-era policy that bars migrants from seeking asylum inside the U.S., not allowing them to cross the southern border, but to remain in Mexico and do all the waiting and paperwork from there. This, while all the experts tell us, another surge is on the way. But back to Ukraine. Russia hit the city of Odessa with missiles, including three hypersonic missiles, according to a Ukrainian military official. It destroyed two hotels, a shopping center, and a warehouse. One person died. Five were hospitalized, this according to Ukrainian officials. Separately, the World Health Organization has verified 200 attacks on healthcare facilities in Ukraine since the start of Russia's invasion. But again, Republicans said they would block any bill that included COVID-19 funds along with Ukrainian aid. All right. Well, senators on Monday quickly passed a bill to expand security for the families of Supreme Court justices because this weekend there were abortion rights protests outside the homes of Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that President Biden, quote, strongly believes in the constitutional right to protest, but that should never include violence, threats, or vandalism, adding that judges perform an incredibly important function and must be able to do their jobs without concern for their personal safety. Again, this statement came after Republicans criticized the administration for not condemning the protests over the weekend in the initial response from the White House. But there were zero reports of violence or vandalism during Saturday's protests. And the right to peacefully protest is guaranteed by the Constitution. Just saying. Well, it's Tuesday, and that means another primary day. This week, it's West Virginia and Nebraska going to the polls. These races affect the Republicans more than the Democrats. In West Virginia, two Republican incumbents, Alex Mooney and David McKinley, are facing off in a congressional primary because West Virginia lost a seat after redistricting. So one of them will be out. Now, McKinley voted for the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Mooney didn't. Mooney, therefore, was endorsed by the former guy. McKinley was endorsed by Republican Governor Jim Justice and Joe Manchin, obviously also from West Virginia. They've both been in Congress for a while. McKinley has represented West Virginia's first district since 2011. Mooney represented the second district since 2015. But with the Trump endorsement, Mooney seems to be a bit ahead, although he's been criticized as a carpetbagger and he's currently facing ethics investigations. Sounds like he's just Trump's kind of guy. McKinley, meanwhile, has touted his lifelong ties to West Virginia and is proud of his vote for infrastructure. So this is a good test of Trump's influence. In Nebraska, well, the guy Trump endorsed, Charles Herbster, running for governor, well, he's been accused of sexual assault by 8 different women. Again, Trump's kind of guy. All I know is if you're in Nebraska or West Virginia, please get out and vote. They did vote in the Philippines over the weekend, and wow, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. won the presidential election in a landslide. With 95% of the vote counted, Marcos, known by his childhood name of Bongbong, garnered 30 million votes. His main rival, the vice president, Lenny Robredo, had 14 million. You might recall his father, Ferdinand Marcos, was ousted from the presidency in the 1980s and accused of stealing billions from the government. His mother, Imelda, had a shoe fetish. Really, Google it. I guess they've got a short memory in the Philippines. Well, if you're in the stock market, you didn't have a good day yesterday. U.S. stocks plunged to their lowest level of 2022 on Monday during a sell-off fueled by concerns about the highest inflation in decades and Federal Reserve interest rate hikes that were enacted to slow down inflation. It's a roller coaster. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up again. And just remember, look at where the Dow is today as opposed to where it was 5 years ago. You're doing fine. And finally, U.S. Marshals on Monday caught that escaped confessed murderer and the corrections officer who helped him escape and fled this Alabama jail together. A police car chase ended in a crash in Evansville, Indiana. The corrections officer, 56-year-old Vicky White, died at a hospital, apparently shooting herself in the head as law enforcement officers closed in. The inmate, 38-year-old Casey White, was behind the wheel of the Cadillac driving during the chase, and he was injured in the crash. Authorities said the two had a jailhouse romance before they disappeared from the Lauderdale County Detention Center on April 29th. Vicky White was supposed to retire the day they left. I guess that's one way to end a career. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.